that you've got only 9% of the write-ins in Nebraska?
I was pleasantly surprised. I did twice as well as Rockefeller. Of course, you know that I was not a candidate, you know that, and I, not only that, went to the state to ask that they not engage in a write-in. The primary was not between the vice president and other candidates there. It was a primary in which I could not enter because of circumstances, after all, which denied me the chance under the law to enter. But I do think that it's rather significant that the leading candidate in the Republican Party in the polls and the leading candidate in the Democratic Party in the polls received some write-ins, and that the leader of them all got one half as much as the leader of the Democrats, if you get my message.
Mr. Vice President, President Johnson was on the ballot. What did you think of the vote for him? Isn't that kind of a repudiation of the administration?
I don't think so. After all, if you'd had Mr. Truman on the ballot, you wouldn't have said that, after the president is not an active political office holder and office seeker. He made it perfectly clear that he would not seek the nomination or accept it. And the people of Nebraska are illiterate, educated people. They read the papers. They listen to your broadcasts. They know that the president is not an active candidate, doesn't want to be a candidate, wouldn't accept the nomination. And I've been out in Nebraska enough to know that they're rather intelligent folks. And when they're told that you're not a candidate, they believe it. They're not quite as cynical as some other people are. They just believe it, that's all. They're nice folks. Well, I thought that Eugene McCarthy answered that in the most honorable manner. Namely, that Mr. McCarthy is a candidate in his own right, that he's going to go ahead and pursue his own course, which is exactly what I would expect of him. I don't believe that we have to engage in stopping anybody. I think what we Democrats need to do is to do some good starting. And we've got plenty of competition outside of the party. And as I've said a number of times, I don't intend to build myself up by running somebody else down. I intend to try to do as good a job as I can to state my case, seek delegate strength and get the nomination, which I hope to get and expect to get, and then to go on and take care of the opposition in the fall, which is the main event. The rest of this is sort of spring training, as I've told you before.
Mr. Vice President, when we met here in this Wednesday morning political seminar a week ago, you said that you weren't surprised by Senator Kennedy's vote, which in Indiana was around 40%. Now he has over 50%. Don't you think this gives him a kind of impetus towards the nomination?
No.
Why not, sir?
Because the situation is very different. In Indiana, there were three active candidates. There was the governor, Senator Kennedy, and Senator McCarthy. And the poll in Indiana showed at the beginning of the race that the senator would get 42%, and that's what he got at the end of the race, after great difficulties, many hard working days, and a very hard working campaign with a considerable media expenditure. The poll in the state of Nebraska showed just what would happen. In fact, the poll was a little higher than the total percentage vote that finally came out. This was a contest between two men, between Senator McCarthy and Senator Kennedy. Senator Kennedy won that contest. Now, if the other man was in the contest, the vice president, who leads in the Gallup poll in the morning press, I think the results might have been a little different. I can't make a safe prediction as to what they would have been, but I venture to say they might have been a little bit different. So, you know, really, the primaries, regrettably, cannot take on the significance they ought to, simply because the vice president did not have the opportunity to file in those primaries, and that wasn't my fault. Now, if you could have convinced the president to have made his statement a month earlier, I could have accommodated you a little better here. But I tried to get him not to make any statement, and you didn't do a darn thing about it. And so,
Vice President, while you were saying you were not a write-in candidate in Nebraska, some of your supporters out there were urging write-ins. Isn't this an attempt to get the best of all possible world?
No, you know better than that. You know the man that said that I was going to be a write-in candidate was Mr. Lucy of Wisconsin, who is one of Mr. Kennedy's strongest supporters and one of his activists in Nebraska. It was a very clever little operation that didn't fool anybody, including you or me. But it does make a good question.
Mr. Vice President, would you debate Mr. Harding?
I've been doing it in my own way along the countryside. The debate challenge has been by Mr. McCarthy to Mr. Kennedy. I suggest that they should warm up and get their licks in first, and after they've decided which of those two is the winner in that debate, I'll take on the winner. I've never run away from a good debate or a good fight, and you know that, but I do think we ought to work at a sort of, you know, like they do with most everything, kind of work your way up the ladder on it.
Oregon and California. How do you stop it?
Well, gentlemen, there aren't very many states that have primaries. Now, I know that the primaries make a lot of news, but this nomination is not going to be decided by the number of inches of copy that you get in the local press. It's going to be decided by the delegates at the convention. It just so happens that it was not possible for Hubert Humphrey, the vice president and the candidate for the Democratic nomination, to enter any primary except the one in South Dakota. And might I say that I've told the press, and I think you're men of honor, I've told you that we're not in any primary. I've not only told you, I've gone out to our supporters and said we're not in any primary, and please don't go around wasting your time or my money, because there's no use of going into a primary by proxy. If I want to get into a fight, I know my own name, and I could put it on the ballot if the law would permit me to do so. I do not believe in running around under somebody else's mantle or somebody else's name by proxy. So Hubert Humphrey is not a candidate in any primary, from the District of Columbia to the state of California. But he is an active candidate for delegates in all 50 states and territories, and thus far is doing rather well. And I hope to do much better in the days ahead.
What role do you intend to give consumer affairs in the coming campaign?
I thought I indicated today in my comment here that I consider the program of the Johnson-Humphrey administration to be a very good beginning in the whole effort of consumer protection and of consumer interest. I've had a hand in this program. I've been one of the men that, in the government that has encouraged it, did so even as a senator. I will seek to build on that. Again, may I say that the starts that have been made are rather significant. The progress that can be made from those starts will be even more significant, particularly if you put the right man in charge.
Mr. Vice President?
Yes, sir.
To go back to something else you said at the same place last week, you said that the results in Indiana indicated that a majority of Democrats voted against Senator Kennedy out there. Now, by the same token, couldn't you say that in Nebraska, a majority of Democrats voted against the administration?
That's quite obvious. 51% is a majority. I don't know what they voted against the administration. They were voting for. The administration wasn't on the ballot.
Well, President Johnson...
Well, now, President Johnson's name was on the ballot, but for all practical purposes, as you know, he had already signed off. He had already signed off. Now, if we were going to take a popular opinion, a public opinion poll, and somebody that's already said, I'm not in it, you wouldn't really consider it a contest. I think it's rather, frankly, I don't think it's quite fair to the president to indicate the amount of vote that he may get when his name is left on the ballot by the law, when the president himself has actually resigned, so to speak, from being an active political candidate. To continue to press this question is rather insulting to the intelligence of the American people. They know that the president is not an active candidate, and they knew that Hubert Humphrey's name was not on the ballot. And they heard Hubert Humphrey say in Nebraska that he didn't want any write-ins, that he was not asking for any write-ins, and that he was imploring his friends not to encourage any write-ins. Despite that, I got 10%, twice as many as Mr. Rockefeller, as I said a little earlier. So I believe that pretty well answers that question. I think the president deserves better, may I say, than to have his administration judged on the basis of a legal technicality after he has openly stated to the whole world and is known by every person that can hear, much less read or write, that he is not an active candidate.
Mr. Vice President, Senator Kennedy said yesterday that he was the voice of the future and you were the voice of the past.
Well, my comment is that if you look over the legislation that's taken place in this country that was creative, innovative, forward-looking, I think you'll see the name Humphrey on it more than you will Kennedy. I have been the voice of the future in politics, and I haven't lost my voice. I was the author of the Peace Corps. I was the author of the co-sponsor of the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty. I was authoring some of these proposals when other people were just kind of practicing up with touch football. And might I say that I haven't lost my enthusiasm for life or my ability to be creative. The future is not the possession of any one man. What is most important about the future is that you understand the problems of the present, that you can build from the foundations that have been constructed in the past, and that you're able to mobilize the support and the resources of the people of America so that together we can build a future. The voice of the future is not nearly as important as the work of the future. And if it comes to voice, I've got about as much of that as the other candidates, too. But it's my personal view that the record speaks for itself. And I believe the record of innovation, of creativity, of imaginative legislation to which I have given my efforts is a rather, well, it's at least a reasonably good one. I don't want to exaggerate it, but it does include the National Defense Education Act. It does include the Peace Corps. It does include the Disarmament Agency. It does include the Food for Peace Program. It does include the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty. It does include my work on the Non-Proliferation Treaty. It does include the first legislation in this Congress on school construction. It does include a lot of things that were innovative, forward-looking, far-reaching. Job Corps, for example. The first efforts in the Congress in 1956 to launch a war on poverty had the name of Hubert Humphrey attached to them. Now, I haven't run out of ideas. As a matter of fact, gentlemen, just get me elected and you'd be surprised how much good copy you will have. Okay?
Thanks, boys. Hey, these are fun.
Yeah, we can.